A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey Murphy here with my good friend, Pete Ferrero, and we are dishing up all of the details on MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Pete, we got a pretty awesome episode coming up today. I'm excited.
I'm really excited. I love this week's episode. First of all, thank you to MasterChef for sending us the episode in advance. It's super cool to be able to, you know, see what happens. And it's really cool because we're going to interview the eliminated contestants, but we're going to kind of break those down separately, I think is the plan, right?
Yeah. So today we're going to go over episode 6. So we have a lot going on today. We have a mystery box. We've got the first immunity pin that was given. We've got some strategy. We've got some shit talking. We've got
some lying.
Yeah. Some allegations of lying and an elimination.
I'm sorry, and not allegations, legit lying.
Yeah, it was legit lying. They said it. Yeah, it was legit lying. Storytelling, fabrication. So it was a great episode. And mystery boxes are always super fun. And yeah, we're going to get to talk to the eliminated guest later. And you can watch that or listen to that on a separate episode. So if you're driving your car, you need a quickie. There you go. You get to listen to our interview with the eliminated guest.
You just said a lot of things, and it's all amazing. It's all amazing stuff. And it is all going to be a lot of fun to do. I think if you're driving and you're listening to this and you just want to hear the interview with the eliminated contestant to see what their take was, I mean, it's so great to just have that separately and not listen to our sort of review of the episode. But
right.
Let's talk about the review of the episode. Can we dive into this?
Let's get right in. I'm ready. I'm arms folded, ready.
Okay. So when you were doing MasterChef and you are the greatest champion of all time, when the first time that you saw the mystery box challenge, what is your mind like? Do you have any insight in like, oh, it's going to be apples?
No, you're freaking terrified. Yeah, you have no idea. Because again, if you've watched the show many times, it's who knows what it's going to be. So the first time you see that, it's terrifying. And yeah, so I imagine too, like episode 2, they come in and they're just like, shit, already? Like
someone's gone. You know what I mean? Someone's been eliminated. You're getting used to the world.
Yeah, and in real time for everybody who is all the people that watching, we film these mostly consecutive. So, you know, probably like 10 hours earlier, their friend got sent home. And now they like went to sleep really quick and came back and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah. So it's a lot. And like getting thrown a mystery box challenge.
Yeah. So.
And this is apples.
Yeah. So we find out it's apples. Very dramatic with the opening. I like imagine all like the cleanup crew just being like, God damn it. Like.
There's like, so many apples all over the place.
Yeah. Cut. Hold on. Let's clean up the apples before they start. Hold on.
Right. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
What would you have done?
I thought about this long and hard.
But can I just tell you, you're not supposed to. Like, it's supposed to be that you're improv-ing them. I mean, I guess your mind is always going to go there, but you're supposed to, like, think of it on the fly so we can see your MasterChef championship brain think this through. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know what? And I'm still thinking.
Oh, shit. So I would have. Yeah.
It's like that. I actually, no joke, I would have actually really struggled with this one. I think. It was
okay, savory apples.
I mean, obviously my mind goes pork also. But that's so bold. I don't know. This is a really tough one.
So you would have been from the Midwest?
Yeah.
So you're Midwest. What did Midwest get? Midwest got
They were winners. They were savory. So, I mean, I probably would have done it like a bone-in pork chop of some sort. But I would have gone down the lines of like chipotle and apple. So I would have like gone heavy kind of like not barbecue-y, but like get heavy on the spice to kind of take away some of that sweetness, with like a dark green of some sort and, you know, some crispy shallots or something like that. I would have gone like pretty like heavy Midwest, like, but it's so hard because I feel like apples are really, they're a tough ingredient. I want the viewers to actually know that, like, apples, they hold so much water, so they can be really tough to actually cook with. Because once you cook them, lots of times they just turn into like bleh, like nothing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then baking, same thing. They hold a lot of water, so they could only be used in so many different like renditions. You can't like make like an apple cheesecake, like right. It will disintegrate. So there, it's a really tough ingredient. So when I saw that, I was like, oh shit! Like for 19 different dishes with apple is actually really tough.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, a lot of the things that people suggested doing were things that the judges also said they would have done. I mean,
right.
Their own versions of.
Yeah. There's just not that many options for apple. So you really just have to like make it really good. Like, I feel like, and that's kind of what we'll get to some of this, but some of the people focus too much on the apple and then their dishes fell apart because you can't really focus too much on the apple. It just needs to be part of the dish.
Going back to what you were talking about last week, you said that you really wanted to see people start upping their game and start being more inventive. I have to say, this week, I don't know that we saw it get any better. In fact, there was a lot of missteps. I felt like there was more missteps than there were like successful dishes.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way as well? Or what did you feel when you watched it?
I did. I felt some people got it. Like Kennedy's dish. Awesome, like super composed, tight, put together, like thoughtful. She made a pork tenderloin. Again, she went like pretty classic of like what you think of with like pork and apple and slaw on top and stuff, but it was very like composed and elegant. And I think that's the closest we got to seeing some what we normally think of as like a MasterChef worthy dish. But then there were lots of missteps.
But right off the bat, like, everyone seemed to be super excited by apples. And it's interesting to hear you, as the greatest of all time, say that would have really stressed me out.
Well, it's on the surface. And they even said that, like, on the surface, that seems really easy. I think Richie said it during the episode. On the surface, like, apple seems really easy. And, like, it looks easy from the outside eye. And then when you're really thinking through it, it's a really tough ingredient. And when half the people are then thrown sweet, that's really tough as well. And they kept harping on that, and it's very true. Like, while sweet seems more obvious, it's more challenging for more so the reasons of why Richie ended up failing in the episode.
I can't wait to dive into some of that.
And so we'll dive into some of that, but
right off the bat, Kyle has to make this choice and this decision. He's up on the perch, he's up top, and he's ready to, he's going to shake shit up is basically what he's going to do. And he's going to select as an advantage. So everyone understands he's going to select as an advantage. Some people are going to have savory, some people are going to have sweet. Go ahead.
Yeah. So he gets to pick. I want to first say that Kyle is amazing on camera.
He is. That's true.
Like, I was like, this guy is great. Like, he's got good answers. I just like his personality a lot. I was like, this guy seems really cool.
And so also, can all, I say, knows how to make good TV.
Yeah.
Didn't just baby steps around, you know, like, what do you guys all want? You know, like, goes right for the jugular. I'm here to play a competition and I'm going to.
Yeah. He was great. Immediately was like, I like this dude. He is a good character for the show.
Totally.
He gets a pick. So he and his team decide that Midwest wants savory. And then they go with who they think is, you know, has more intimidating chefs, and they give those two regions the sweet. So they give the South.
He gives it into the Northeast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he throws, you know, the West a bone and gives them savory. So.
And MD says that she likes being underestimated. I wrote that note down. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think all of them. I think everyone likes to kind of be underestimated. I think that like lights a fire under everybody to be like, all right, I'll show you. You know, like,
yeah,
I like that. I'm like, all right, you know,
it's also Friday. An interesting part in the series too, because there's so many competitors now. There's 19 or whatever, and it's like, Grant shows up from the Midwest, and I'm like, who's Grant?
Oh, right. I know there was a couple like people that I was like, oh, I don't remember them from last episode.
Or
because they just
episode.
Weren't on there.
Yeah, like, I don't even remember them passing the audition. Like, I'm like, when did this person get cast? Is it today? Or,
right.
But I'm clearly, obviously, I know that. But it's just, it was interesting to see some of the Midwest
yes.
getting
the
a
pool is very big still.
Yes.
So we've got a long way to go here.
Yes. So what were some of the things that you observed?
I saw definitely the people that were doing, I think people were very thrown off. Yes. Because I think immediately a lot of the people, I mean, this is done in real time. So I will say, like, Gordon asked people like, oh, what would you make? What would you make? He actually does that and it's not scripted. And so people are just like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And then you find out, oh, all of a sudden, no, you're not going to do that savory dish. You're now cooking sweet or vice versa. And I think people were like, oh shit. Like, well now but- what?
I have to say, you know, you took me to your appearance and that was so kind of you, but that was one of the things that actually surprised me or was the most interesting to me from a film perspective, that the show is done in real time. Pretty much what you see on MasterChef is what happened as it was actually happening.
Yeah.
There's only one bit that's a little bit,
yeah,
it's not even that surprising. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, but they do taste the dishes. They taste all of the dishes right after the dishes are cooked so that they know what they taste it like warm. And then there is a little bit of a setup breakdown period.
Yeah, they have to beauty all the food and like take pictures of it so you can see it on camera as it is and looks pretty.
That's also not a very long period of time either. So it's not like that takes hours. You know what I mean?
No, they've actually improved that significantly even since I was on. I think they've like started to like pick that up quite a bit.
So. Yes.
I think people were thrown off a little bit, a little frantic at the beginning is what it felt like to me.
Yes.
If do you agree?
I think there was a lot of franticness. There was like, I saw Wayne, right, who wound up doing pretty good, but Wayne like was like, he knew we wanted to do off the bat, and then he got thrown the curveball of like, I think he's going to be doing savory instead of sweet, and so his mind looked like it was all over the place. In fact, I think he started looking for additional sweet stuff at first from in the episode. So I think the confusion of not only just the apples, but now I have to do the savory where I intended to do, like, my initial reaction right. was to do this. So the advantage is very interesting.
Yeah. It seemed like small to me at the beginning. And then I was like, oh, when they said it, I was like, oh, that's not too cool of a advantage. But then it actually, I think it ended up playing such a big role. And I liked the judges played quite a bit of a role, I feel like, this time in how they gave advice to the yes. contestants. I mean, we saw Joe at that one point with Charles on his snapper about like the layering of the
it was so entertaining.
Apple to yes.
Joe is so entertaining.
Layer. Yes. And I thought that was great. I mean, like that really, I don't think they used to show that as much, that the judges do give really good advice to contestants to try to help them with their dish.
What's interesting about that advice is, like, Joe literally saved him in a way. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it, you know, we'll get into the results, but like he literally had to tell him like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Try it this way, and then see how that plays out.
Yeah,
you know?
Can you imagine? Like, you just put thin slices of apple on that; it's literally going to turn into like sugar water on your fish.
Red snapper
and
sugar
also,
water
well,
red snapper.
I mean, we can go into that whole thing, but we can wait till we get to the announcements.
I also love that, like, Joe is very from one Italian to another, he handles things very like very Italian. That's what you're gonna do. He'll hit him with like a just a little quick Italian snap. I like it.
He's very
also
to the point.
Gordon comes at Kendall, who is Kendall is off, he doesn't know where he is.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't know where he is. Like, I don't even know if he's on the same show as everybody else. He's in another planet.
I felt so bad because his team was like treating him like a 4-year-old.
I saw that. I actually got like maybe what you might do is what was being done to him.
I would have probably, honestly, I would have. That would have been me. I would have been like hand holding him.
Yes.
To be like, let me come do it for you.
Doesn't he at first say that he wants to make an apple duck? Was it Kendall that said that?
I died when this happened. Like,
I don't even know what it means.
I had no idea what it meant.
What is an apple duck?
It's like a, you know, like when you go on cruise ships and they make like towel animals that they put on your bed at night for turn down service. He was going to make that with an apple. He was going to try to shape it into a duck.
I can't believe you just referenced that. Yes, that's like, amazing. Yes.
I can only imagine that his duck, like if he would have actually tried to do that, would have looked like a fat rat or something. Like it would not have looked like a duck.
But his mind is not in this competition because
what are you doing?
Because later on it results his other thoughts are just all like, over the
this
place.
This is but not actually, a Chinese food buffet.
Right.
Like, this is not
this is not a carnival cruise ship. You know what I mean?
I was dying. Like, and Gordon's response was so funny. Like what's happened a lot with Alejandro, because like Alejandro would do these like weird, ridiculous things, and Gordon would be like, "What the hell? Where did you learn that? Like, where is that a food thing?
I have never talked to Gordon Ramsay. You have, but I think that there has to be a list of things, of suggestions in your brain you eliminate when you talk to him, right? If you're going to be in a food space with him, apple duck, get it out of your brain. Like, just think it, move on from it, and then come up with something more that
Gordon's
gonna
appreciate. I didn't understand what he meant. I thought he meant like he was going to make duck along with his churros, or I was so confused. And I was like, oh no, you're literally going to carve a fucking apple into a duck. oh my God.
The thing
is that funny. Nothing was
so awful too. So we'll get to that. But I mean, it's not like there was any.
They look like duck turds.
Yes. But it's not like it went from like, oh, he started off on the apple duck and then he had this other whimsical plan and it all worked out. It didn't, nothing worked out.
I'm going to apologize to the listeners right now because I realize that I'm like screaming. Because I'm getting so fired up about this. I'm like screaming into the microphone because I'm just like, what?
And what's funny is last week you said something great. I mean, I know your brain sits like, what did I say? But you said something like, you always worry about the barbecue people or like the shtick kind of people, right? Like, and I don't mean to say that barbecue people are shtick people, but the people that are sort of like shticky, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was the apple duck was a very like quintessential, like, when I saw that, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. This advantage is really fucked up because my thought was like, he's gone. There's no way you say apple duck to Gordon Ramsay and you survive. There's no way.
I know. As soon as Jennifer got up there and I was like, oh no. Oh no, he's staying. Oh no.
I know.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to Richie, who also... He is not another one who has not found his footing in this competition.
Yeah, and so last week I even said I loved his idea, and when I watched this episode, immediately I was like, ah, there you go, like a cupcake that's stuffed with like a apple chutney, you know, and then finished with like a, you know, a cinnamon and bourbon like. Cream cheese frosting. And I mean, I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. And then it just didn't, you know,
it all get falls executed. Apart.
And so
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about the successful dishes and then we'll break down the elimination and all that stuff. Are there other things that we should note that we did not cover, people that maybe did not, like Pruda says that she wants to open. I wrote this note. She wants to open a dessert shop. And I was like, well, you can't say that on television and then put a dessert that's just aight. You know what I mean? Like, you have to like aight. And it turned out to be aight from what I remember.
Yeah, we didn't really hear much about it.
But... Yeah. Successful dishes.
Yeah. We have four good ones. Four. Yeah.
Nina again.
Nina's two for two.
She's crushing it. Yeah. A bourbon apple crumble. What'd you think of Nina's execution?
Good. I liked it. I did not like the weird garnish on the plate, and I'm surprised they didn't throw her under the bus for that one.
Okay.
That's also a MasterChef rule and kind of a food rule. Never put a garnish on the plate that you're not like supposed to eat. Right. Like that was not supposed to be eaten. And I was like, don't do that. The dish looked great. That's like my favorite dessert in the world is a crumble. Like, give me all of that. Give me bourbon and caramel and apple, and I'm like a happy girl. So, like, you know,
there's this thing that's happening on cooking competitions and competitions in general that's very interesting. You being a mom, I'm gonna allow you to have a response to this. But Nina says this dish, this reminds her of her son. This is what her son would want, right? But the son, I mean, and I think that's an amazing concept. But the son is not going to be tasting the dish, right? So now that could turn out, as we will see later, it can turn out to be a detriment where it feels like these are my grandmother's home cakes, right? Which we'll dive into that fully. But like, using the family member, is it as the greatest of all time, is it a positive or a negative to go down that road?
Do you want the real answer or like the I should answer?
I want both. I should answer first.
I think it's always good to cook something that comes from the heart and, you know, reminds you of home, because I think the food's going to be better and you have a tie to it. So I have I have nothing against that, because I think it's always better when you're cooking from that place. The real answer is that probably is a made up story. The real answer is that all the contestants are like asked every time, why are you making this? Like, what's the story behind this dish? Sometimes there is no freaking story. And you're just like, oh yeah, my son really loves this. Like, your son's probably never eaten this. You've never made it for him, but you gotta like go with something. So I'm not saying that's what happened.
Okay.
But a lot of the time, this is what happens on these shows.
Valid. I just got, I mean, I don't want, I'm not going on a tangent, but I just got dinner with Leah Cohen, and she literally said something very similar about a competition that she was in, and she just created the answer
You just make it up.
Jennifer creates an apple spice cake. I wrote, it looks visually great and delicious. Gordon loves it. They all do. What did you think of Jennifer? I thought Jennifer was great this week. Oh, you just made a face.
So I think I could tell the cake like tasted delicious. Like, you could tell by the texture, it tasted delicious. I could tell the cream, like the cream cheese frosting was delicious, looked delicious. I also wanted more on that one because it was just the cake. It was just the frosting. So I wanted a little bit more, and I wanted a little bit like different presentation from it. But I have no doubt that tasted absolutely phenomenal. You could totally tell, just like, cause she cut into the cake so you could like see the inside. And I was like, that is moist and delicious and it's the right color. And yeah, it looked amazing.
And to Jennifer's credit, she was also hand holding one of the competitors on her team. Yes. So maybe she had other thoughts to try.
I'm sure there was. I mean, this season is definitely different because you can tell that the team is definitely like spending time to like talk to each other and like kind of help each other. And hey, like, oh, when you're back there, can you grab me that? Like, that rarely happened
right
otherwise, because you weren't like in a team. You weren't like, oh, can you grab me a whisk also when you're back there? Like,
in your season, someone would have been like, fuck no.
Yeah, no.
You would have said no. Would you have said no if someone asked you?
I would always give somebody. We always shared wine because that was the biggest pain in the ass to open. And you would need like, you know, like a thing, and you'd be like, I don't want to have to open another bottle. So like, you'd just run around looking for wine.
So that's an interesting Kelsey, because that's a torn between two. you want to be the competitor, but you also are a very nice person. So you
I
know, would
get- I gave prawns to Joseph when he effed up. We went over that. I gave mine away.
Yes.
So who else we got? Wayne.
Wayne, I like Wayne.
Looks great.
Because it's also a great comeback.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the bottom in a minute and how two of the bottom wound up in the bottom again. But Wayne had a bad dish the week prior, but comes back with this harissa spice scallops and the couscous thing, right?
Yeah, so, it looked great. Very technical. Like, there was a lot of technique going on in that dish. Pearl couscous, especially in competition, is not easy to cook. And Joe even said that. It's not easy to cook and cook well. The scallops looked great. The plating looked really nice. I was really impressed. And I think last week I said about his risotto that, I mean, while it was terrible, I was like, I think he has the technique in him. He seems like a person that has some of that in him, and we got to see some of that. And I was very happy to finally see like a composed plate.
You know what I want to ask you? Well, you know, because Joe, I feel like one of the reasons why that comeback is so great is because Joe, who was pretty harsh the week prior, gives him a compliment. Did you feel when you were judged by the three of them that you wanted to impress either of them more, or you wanted to impress them all? Were there specific thoughts about what to do because Joe might like this now? I can show Joe I can do this. Or
yeah, Joe's comments always, I feel like why Joe and Gordon work really well is because they're both hypercritical. But like Gordon's critiques are always more focused on like general like flavor, or he always like cover like brings it back with like that was freaking fantastic, but this is what I would have done, you know, like, and add something like extra that you like you could have done to help you out. And then Joe's are like either like that was like bullshit garbage, or like I would, you know, it always has to do with like the plating, the presentation, or how well something was actually like cooked, or how much he would like actually pay for it in a restaurant. So I think he puts like more of an objective, like,
yes,
like a objective critique on it, which I always appreciated when like he actually would say something was really good and give a reason why, like something objective of it was cooked really well this way, or this plating would, you know, worthy $35 in my restaurant or something like that. And then that, I don't know if I answered that question correctly.
You did, but I mean, I think that's a really good answer too, to that. And that's an observation I made about Joe myself this week. So yeah,
I mean, he's just a bit more objective, I feel like, in his critique.
So I feel like Wayne can come off of that like feeling pretty good, because it's not just the comeback in the terms of like my dish was executed right, but one of my harshest critics last week, because Joe gave him a hard time about the risotto.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. So like, I feel like you could come back and be like, hey, you know what, Joe liked my dish this week, so that's a win,
like,
in itself.
My first
keeps
time
you going.
Cooking, my first time, well, also my first time in the MasterChef kitchen and my first time cooking for Joe. Like, I wouldn't be like, let's do risotto. That seems like a smart decision,
right?
Like. I wouldn't do that for a finale dish. So
you
anyway.
Mentioned Kennedy with the pork tenderloin.
Yeah,
I thought that looked great. So
it looked amazing. You could tell the pork tenderloin was cooked perfectly, and she again exuded so much confidence in saying like, "I know how to cook this perfectly. It's going to taste great." Again, like pork, apple, obviously. She went smart with adding something pickled like to her salad to really brighten it up. Just a really composed dish. I thought Joe's critique was a little harsh on that one. I was kind of like, oh, do you remember it at all?
I
don't know why it stuck up to me. He was like, this is a very nice, homey, like, I can't remember exactly. I should have written it down, because it was like, it's a very nice home dish that's been, you know, slightly elevated. Like, yeah. It was kind of like, I was like, oh, I think it's better than that. Like, that looked like a very tight, like,
when I saw it, I thought
quality
that was,
dish, not like a nicer home dish.
I thought it was going to win. I thought that was going to be the winner.
I did too. I thought it looked great.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't taste it, so we don't know. But I mean, I definitely thought she looked like she executed the best. I mean, I was thinking between that and the cake, you know, with Jennifer's cake. So I was.
Sweets will always win over savory. If it's good.
That's interesting.
Always.
There's a tip for you all that are going to be trying out for MasterChef.
It just like gives 14. It gives you like bonus points. It's like if you for some reason had the disadvantage and you like just pull it off, like you might not be like fantastic, but you pulled it off and you didn't like totally, you know, burn. It gives you just like bonus points. So
let's talk about the bottom.
They were good ones.
They were really good.
These are doozies.
I don't even know where to start. So,
well, let's start with the best of them, which I think was Lizzie's.
Yes.
Maybe.
I'm surprised to see her in the bottom, but I think
those scallops were hammered.
Yes. Yes.
Like they, and I was surprised when they were tasting it or like going around and they were like overcooked. And she was like, no. I was like,
oh, he's my favorite when the competitor can clearly see the thing that they have pointed out and denies the knowledge and it goes into like a fantasy, you know what I mean, like delusion.
I imagine her during that episode during filming, because it was such a quick like no, like she didn't even think about it, and I bet like they walked away and she was like, oh dear god, like I can't believe I like that just shot out of my mouth. It's like a jerk reaction because it was so fast. Joe was like, or someone was like, not overcooked, and she's no. Just keep your mouth shut.
The entertaining part. I mean, Lizzie was fine. Like whatever. Like I think that's a good one. That's a good one. But I didn't think she was going anywhere. Did you?
Oh no, I never thought she was. No, it was still a composed dish. She had the right idea. To me, it sounded okay.
Now it gets funky because you have.
Now it gets awesome.
Charles.
Yeah. Which
talk about another wild comment. He says. He puts white wine, applesauce, and jalapeno, and then he says, the jalapeno is for color.
Oh, my God. Color.
That's an abnormal comment. It's like an abnormal comment. And so I heard him say that, and I was like, oh, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard someone say about jalapeno, that it's there for color.
Right. You know what it's there for color.
And then Aron says, right. You just said to me, like,
it's... Yeah. Like he was like, do you understand what you just said?
Color. Yeah.
For color. Like, you understand this? And I mean, as soon as they were like, oh, did you cook the white wine? I mean, that is, it's like cooking 101. That immediately should just be like, sorry. That should be something that they like find out ahead of time. Like yes. If you know that or not. And I understand some people watching that might be like, well, I didn't know that. That's fine. Like, you don't need to know that. But if you're going to be on MasterChef, you should know that.
Just say what you're talking about exactly. What should they know?
So Charles put white wine directly into his puree and just pureed it into his sauce. He did not burn off the alcohol. So normally when you cook with any sort of liquor, wine, liquor, anything, you put it in the pan and you burn it. You either flambe it and actually let it flame, or you reduce it down so the alcohol cooks out, or else it's going to literally just taste like you're eating white wine, like ugh. That. Like, and you just literally took applesauce and white wine is like mixed. Like you took your Mott's applesauce and poured some white wine in it and just mixed it together, and then thought you should just like slice some jalapenos on top of it. For like, color. Can you imagine what that? Can you imagine that?
Yeah, and also not to mention that he did the whole potato. Skin apple skin thing. So I thought he was also heading to the exit sign, but his fish is cooked great, they say, and so that
if your fish, if your protein's cooked well, then like you're usually okay. Like that's a saving grace, obviously.
The shit hits the fan literally with Kendall because it looks like turd. God. You know,
it looks like turd when they showed the plate. I audibly laughed.
Same,
because he did that whole like cover it half and then like dust it.
But the other thing is it's supposed to be churros. I don't even understand what happened. He's back in State Fair foods from last week. Churros are that is not anything elevated. I don't understand.
It's not elevated.
Half the dish was like covered with
like
a powder.
Size of like a pencil. Like it literally looked like my chihuahua. I don't even have a chihuahua, but like chihuahua poop, you know, like it was so
and
like
once you see the spit out, once all three judges spit out, gosh. You know, something
I thought for a second, I was like, what is so bad? Like it can't, I mean, like it's just dough. How bad can it be? Yeah. But then they said the comment about salt and I was like,
and then we have the first kind of lie, right? Where he is confused with whether he did that or didn't do that. Right.
Right.
He's but like, he okay. should know. if it tastes like salt, then you put salt on the churros and not sugar.
Right. And he didn't taste it.
Right. It was bad. That looked really bad. I thought he was gone. There's no, I mean, you know what right, I mean?
But this is the show.
This is the season.
He gets saved because Miss Jennifer from his region wins. And I mean, that exhale I would have like fallen to the floor.
I feel like in the old days, they would have read him the riot act and really, I mean, and they did a little bit, but I mean, that was that, I mean, in the history of MasterChef, the Kendall's
there's never been a worse dish. No,
that has to be at least one of it's, and he's back to back. Like,
yeah, there will be some sort of like show that eventually pops up talking about all sorts of MasterChef dishes. And that will go down as like top five, if not the worst dish ever presented.
This is a future episode of The Real Eats.
Yes.
Oh, the top five.
We are now writing this.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad.
Then we do find out that though the worst dish is Richie.
Yeah. So he attempts to make a cupcake and it does not go so well. So he puts them in the oven. And they're just not.
What happened, Kelsey? What happened with the cupcake? What did he do? Do you feel went wrong?
Well, I mean, the obvious thing that went wrong is he forgot baking soda. So, he forgot an ingredient.
Right. So it's baking soda that does him in. And I don't know that this has ever happened.
I think it was more than that, but yeah.
But it's the thing. So you I don't know that you've had an experience because you won so many times where you realize like, oh shit, I forgot to do something. So, tell me where does your mind go?
So I have some empathy for him in this because specifically, so my two instances where this did happen were both baking challenges that I did. And it's because like baking is such like a, it's so minute, like it has to be done this certain way. And lots of times in this certain order. And if you don't, like, it's just, it is what it is. And your brain in these instances, when you're in this competition, is not functioning at its normal level. You are like literally functioning at like 30% of like, because there's so much happening and you're so nervous and it just is way different. So I do like have a lot of empathy for what happened because I had it happen once where I was making my cake, my like strawberry shortcake dish. And instead of vanilla extract, I grabbed orange extract. No idea.
Shit.
It was like the biggest bottle. And I was like, oh yeah, the big one. And I thought it was the vanilla. And then I dumped it in and immediately I was like, what the fuck is that? And there I am just like trying to spoon it like out of the mixing bowl and just like, you know, like just throwing it.
So what do you do? Like, what do? You did that. You try to, and then
I almost started over and I was like, I don't have time for that. And I just was like, we're going to have an essence of orange.
But now, Richie, unfortunately, the only time that he realizes that he didn't have baking soda in it is when...
after. Yeah. It did happen to me. Well, no, I guess I did in our first baking challenge. I forgot eggs in my cake. And then before I baked it, I realized, and I was like, oh, I'll just add them in. It did not work.
No.
The cake was like, it was... It didn't send me home. It still tasted great. And like everything else. There was enough like other pieces on it that were executed well. Like you almost couldn't tell. But he didn't have much else going on. Like it was like he spent an hour just making.
What he needed was the minimum.
Like that batter.
He needed the home cake on his dish last week. It was like the two dishes, if they were put together, he would maybe be okay. But so it doesn't go well. And then it gets really awkward sauce because then he
got so stuck in that freaking lie.
It's so clear to me that he was calling it cupcake, and then changed it to home cake and came up with this storyline about his grandmother's home cakes. He says that his grandmother used to make them home cakes, not cupcakes. And so he spun the story, essentially. And he
went way too far with it. He just couldn't get him out of it. I wonder how many times he's done that in his life.
Oh, my God. But this was bad. Because you also have Joe calling him on it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in that instance, you're better off just saying, yeah, I forgot to put the baking on it. Right. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I mean, just like little kids, like it's hard to tell the truth sometimes. Like, and then you already said it And then you're like, I gotta
I'm gonna double down on it.
Yeah, I'm just doubling down on it.
Triple down, quadruple down. Yeah.
But
these are home cakes. I know.
Like, and you've seen this on many, I mean, this happens all the time. And lots of times, like, chefs will be like, oh yeah, I changed the dish. And like, and then the judges call them out on it and they're like, yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously, like, you know that it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. So,
they're standing there, the three of them. Did you have an instant thought on who was gonna go home? What did you think?
So
it would have been between Charles, Richie, and
because Kendall was not up safe, for it. Yeah, he wasn't even up there. Lizzie. I think it was pretty clear that Richie was going home. Mostly, I mean, not only was the dish bad, but then like you can't like insult the judges like that or like
intelligence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you just can't do that. Like they above your cooking ability, they like integrity. And so that they hold that, you know, pretty high.
In fairness, I don't think Richie intended to not walk with integrity in this moment.
No, absolutely not.
I think he got caught up in the whole moment and trying to save yourself. You say some silly things, maybe.
Yeah, I definitely. Absolutely.
You got to be excited to talk to Richie about the result of this.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And we can tell him, like, Richie, we've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, so he hasn't seen the episode.
No, he hasn't seen it. So, yeah, we like, as contestants, we don't get to see it until it airs. So so that'll be interesting.
That's interesting. All right, so what did you think of this? Now, next week's episode looks really hot. Like, literally, there's a fire.
Yeah, there's literally a bomb going off.
Gordon's throwing shit. So I saw him. Whenever you see Gordon throwing something, it's not good. Yeah, like, I literally saw him throw a steak.
So like team competitions are now I have a different viewpoint watching team competitions because Gordon just like, I mean, that camera rolls and he just gets into Hell's Kitchen mode.
Well, like, I was going to say it almost becomes like everybody's working on the line. You know what I mean? So
it's amazing. Like all of a sudden you're like, you know, you're just going to grab ingredients and apparently you're running incorrectly. Like, because he's just going to yell at you because you're running incorrectly. He just yells at you for literally everything. So it's going to be so much fun to watch. Interesting enough, too, Jennifer is competing. She had the immunity pin, but she still is competing as a captain. So
we'll see.
I thought that was interesting.
We'll see how that all plays out. What did you think of this week's episode of MasterChef? What did you think of this entire?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I am very happy so far with how the production is like going, how the gameplay is going. I think they're doing a good job with character development. So I'm like even two episodes in, I feel pretty like invested in some of the characters, which I think is rare when you have a top 20. Usually I'm pretty like all confused about like who everybody is.
Yes.
I think the episodes, just the two of them so far, have been really entertaining. Good food, bad food, and some like funny stuff going on. Like, so it's a little comical in the beginning because there's a lot of like real bad.
There's a lot of hits and misses and really big misses. So super excited to see what happens next week. And just stay here tuned in because we'll be covering that as well.
Yeah. First team competition next week. Thank you guys for tuning in to The Real Eats with Kelsey and Pete. And we will see you next week and tune in for our little episode interviewing Richie, the eliminated contestant from the top 19.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all. See you later.